First Fruits, an Apostolic Perspective. Chapter 20. Greater Spiritual Sight and Eternal Riches. Rabbis taught that if you give 1/40th of the total harvest of your fields as first fruits, as opposed to the smaller amount of 1/60th, then your eye would be full of light. Jesus alluded to something similar when he taught that we cannot serve both God and mammon. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. The Greek word for clear is haplous and has the following range of meanings. Single, that is, not complex, easy. Used of the eye as not seeing double, as when it is diseased. When the eye accomplishes its purpose of seeing things as they are, then it is haplos. Single, healthy, perfect. Singleness, simplicity, absence of folds. A derivative of the Greek word haplos is haplos, meaning bountifully. Eyes generally allude to spirit. For example, the lamb has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The clear or single eye is the lamp of the body. And the reference to a lamp is a reference to the spirit of man. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. A clear eye is full of light. A clear spirit that is sincere and singular, that is, singularly devoted to serving God or being conditioned, stroke infused by God alone, is laced with illumination from God through the revelation of light in His Word. His Word is light, and its entrance or unfolding brings light and understanding. This clear eye or spirit is informed and empowered by the Word of God. Thus, the single or clear eye refers to a spirit immersed in revelation and illumination, full of light and understanding, as well as sincerity, but also refers to generous and bountiful giving. Here is a reminder of what Hillel said regarding first fruits. Hillel, who was in charge of the biggest rabbinical school in Israel, said, "If a person honors teruma at 1/40th level, his eye is said to be full of light. If he honors teruma at the 150th level, his eye is said to be a middling eye. If he honors teruma at the 160th level, that person has an evil eye. The KJV uses the word evil instead of bad in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23. The Greek word for bad stroke evil is poneros, meaning evil in a moral or spiritual sense, wicked, malicious, mischievous. The root word is penes, meaning starving, indigent, poor. A human spirit, in bracket I, that is evil or bad, is full of darkness, lacking divine light from God's word. Thus, there is an absence of purity, sincerity, and singular devotion. It is diseased, not healthy. It does not have honorable and pure motives in what it does, even in its seemingly outward expressions of obedience. There is always a hidden agenda or dishonorable motive. As the Hebrew root word, in brackets penes, for evil stroke bad, suggests above, the bad spirit is beset by a poverty mindset. This manifests in a miserly, stingy, withholding, selfish, and greedy mentality. Thus, an evil eye, as compared to a clear eye, evidences itself by not giving generously, but meagerly. It looks for legitimate ways to give the minimum or the least, and does not venture or opt for giving the most. I encourage you to have a clear eye that gives willingly and generously, and thus gives tacit proof that God is your master. As you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, which are not subject to decay, in brackets, no rust or moth. Note the context of this passage above. In verses 19 to 21, Jesus speaks about finances. In verses 22 to 23, he speaks about the degrees or levels of spiritual sight dependent upon the measure of light or darkness in one's eye. Then in verse 24, he speaks about the impossibility of serving God and wealth, in brackets, mammon. The condition of your eye stroke spirit will determine the degree of spiritual illumination and light in you. The eye, our spirit in us, is to be pure, without malice or mischief, not seeking to hypocritically present a picture of being devoted to God whilst harboring a hidden agenda that seeks to appease the fallen nature. The eye is also often used to indicate one's understanding and mindset. In brackets, example, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. If one's mind is single, clear, free from diseased thinking, in brackets, especially in reference to finances, pure, void of trying to find the speck in someone else's eye, then one's capacity for prophetic and spiritual sight is increased. The converse is true for the bad or evil eye condition. Interestingly, this discussion is sandwiched between two points made about finances and one's attitude towards it. How you handle your finances will indicate much of your devotion to God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The location of your money will bring revelation of the location of your heart. The measure of your revelation or illumination will determine the quantity and the quality of your giving. But also, your handling of finances will either have a positive or negative effect on your measure of revelation and spiritual insight. Financial faithfulness positions one to receive more grace, as indicated earlier in this writing. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Faithfulness in handling wealth qualifies one for stewardship of eternal riches. If you cannot trust God with your money, how can God trust you with His truth and revelation? May the light in our spirits and resultantly our compliant souls increase. May this light direct our financial obedience in first fruits, tithes, and offerings. May we receive custody of stewarding eternal riches, the truth and revelation of God's word. This must be our prayer. Reflect. It is an amazing thing that Jesus compared how we give to the measure of light, illumination, and revelation in our spirits, in brackets, eyes. The first provides evidence of the second. The connectivity of these two issues elevates the significance of financial faithfulness as a spiritual act, not merely a natural one. The clarity, sincerity, and generosity of your spirit determines your financial giving. To what degree does this thought register within your mind when you plan on obeying God in respect to giving first fruits, tithes, and offerings?